So after the World Cup, I don't know about you, but I had a long depression. I couldn't even bring myself to get back into club football. It was such a great World Cup. And something about the season, all that excitement in November, December, and then the bleak January, February to follow. It was dark, man. I went to some dark places, but one thing that brought me out of it was the success of Grimsby Town, bringing the magic back to the FA Cup. Haven't been this far since Churchill was a sailor. It's an incredible run. James, what's it like being a Grimsby Town fan right now? You must be in dreamland.
Yes, it's absolutely fantastic. It's I hear you about the World Cup. It was a little bit weird afterwards. Plus, I had like pneumonia in January, which kind of took me out for a few weeks. So football was least on my radar. But yeah, it's an ongoing, ever never ending factory here though with the Premier League and everything else. So we had no real choice but to kind of be exposed to it again. But yeah, it has been a bit of a weird season for Grimsby so far. We've been up and down. We've had some good patches and some poor patches, and sitting like 16th in League Two. I think as we're recording this, we're drawing 1-1 with Newport. It may be, I don't know how that's going to end. So there's not been too much to celebrate other than the ownership that we have now that we'll maybe get onto later. But yeah, the FA Cup run's just been one of those lovely little surprises, especially given that we've been absolutely terrible in the FA Cup for what feels like a decade. I may be over exaggerating, but genuinely, I don't think we've been past the first round or the second round for a really, really long time. When we were in the non-league, we had to get involved in the rounds even before the first round. If you can imagine, there are many rounds of the FA Cup before you get to the first round.
And you've been in League Two. This is your first season in League Two. I mean, I think you're being understated in typical English fashion. When you ask them how they're doing, their very best, most positive answer, full of enthusiasm, would be to say, not too bad.
Yeah,
Ever
all right.
pessimistic, you've made League Two and you're in the FA Cup, one match from Wembley. I think 1938 was the date that I read that
39.
Grimsby had been this far.
Yeah.
So there you go.
No,
It's it's incredible run. It got me excited, but I think you're underwhelming in your response. You must have had lots to celebrate, but you've just been so traumatized over the years from having been in. What was the lowest level Grimsby's been in since you've been watching them?
In the National League, which is the one below League Two, so and that in the UK you kind of class that as being non-league. I mean, nowadays most of the National League are professional, fully professional teams, but when I was a kid that wasn't the case. Even teams in League Two or what used to be Division Four were, some of them were semi-professional. They would often have a bit of a mix of professionals and then some guys that had, been carpenters or in Grimsby, maybe working on the docks until
Roofers.
the weekend. But yeah, so it's but when I, my first Grimsby game was 1978, and we were in Division Four then, which is now League Two. But we went on a bit of a tear and got promoted 2 years consecutively, got up to Division Two, what's now called the Championship, and even managed to finish fifth in my lifetime in. And this was before the playoffs, so we were very, very close to getting promoted to Division One or what is now called the Premier League. But and we spent a good 10, 15 years up in that, championship level football in my life. So if I sound underwhelmed by being 16th in League Two, it's because I've got 45 years of sort of where we've actually been, quite a lot higher than that. But yeah, we've been lower. And I mean, this time we were only in the National League for 1 year, but previous to that, we were down there for 6 years, which is brutal. I mean, if anybody's watched the Wrexham documentary thing on, then they know how difficult the National League is to get out of, and the fact, you know, we've been on a good run, yeah, overall for the last 2 years. Grimsby, being a Grimsby fan, has been brilliant because we got promoted in extraordinary fashion last year. And the FA Cup run is weird, though, as I say, because you go into every round expecting to lose. And then you kind of go, oh, that was a surprise, we won. And then, you know, and the strange, well, the record that they've set this year is they're the first team that's ever beaten five teams that are in divisions higher than them in every round. So that's never been done before. They've always had to beaten teams in their own division, people that have got this far that are sort of that low in the league. So yeah, we've
It's
beaten, I
never been
don't know,
done before.
three.
That's incredible. I didn't realize that. I didn't appreciate how special this run is. Just watching the highlights again, they got real lucky. Two VAR penalties and the second one for a moment of a bit of madness. But you know, that's yeah, I think a gesture that you would make on the fields and the kickabouts. I know you've hit me in the back a few times after I tackled you, just to say, "Hey, what's going on here?" I don't know if that was a penalty. The first one he would have got away with. So you're lucky to have VAR, but those were two strange penalties where one just took a really weird bounce, hit the guy's arm, and the other, for some reason, the red mist descended and he gave him the knuckles on the spine, which was a penalty. You know, there's something about this run. There's something special about it. You can't deny it. It looks magical.
Yeah, well, at the game, I was at the game. I was at the Southampton game, and
Oh, you were.
it was due. It was at the second, well, the second
I thought
goal
I
I
heard
had
you.
ruled out for offside on VAR was when I thought to myself, and there was still like 15, 20 minutes to go, and I thought to myself, you know what? I actually think we might hang on for this because if you ever sort of think about the idea of the gods being on your side or fortune favouring you. Literally everything had gone in our favour. I mean, one of the most extraordinary things about that match was that we scored two goals, but we got to cheer six times as if we'd scored. Because when they had a goal chalked off, we got to cheer like we'd scored because effectively we had. And when we got the two penalties, we got to cheer like we had a goal. And then we actually got to cheer when they scored the goals as well. So, you know, I mean, fair play to the Gavin Holohan for converting the penalties, because obviously Harry Kane didn't manage to convert two penalties in the same game, so it's not that easy, is it?
True, true,
But yeah, it
true.
was a soft,
Still
super soft
stinks, huh?
penalty. Yeah, and
Yeah, really
as
strange penalties, really bizarre. And the most bizarre thing from watching those highlights was the number of huge fish that people were carrying around in the stands. Whenever they cut to Grimsby fans, they were all holding these enormous fish. I can only assume they were perhaps a cod, I'm not sure. But what's the story with the fish in the
No,
stands?
that fish, primarily people were waving Harry the Haddock. And
Harry the
if
Haddock.
you ever go to Grimsby, which is famous for its fish and chips, you will realize that you cod is an inferior fish to have with fish and chips. You can still get it there, but haddock is the king.
Oh,
And so
pardon me.
hence
I
we have
didn't
Harry
realize.
the Haddock as this weird inflatable mascot. And then, well, there's an interesting story behind that as well. It was started in, I think, 88 or 89, by a journalist had the idea for it. And it was at the time in English football when inflatables had become kind of a thing. I think I remember some people having bananas, which were like a, I think they were just from greengrocers, just as a thing to advertise bananas, and people started taking them as this amusing thing to wave about. And I think West Ham had inflatable hammers. I'm delving back into, you know, my 16-year-old brain at the moment trying to remember. But Grimsby, somebody had this idea that we should have Harry the Haddock. And the first version of Harry the Haddock in 88 or 89, whenever it was, it looked an awful lot like a rainbow trout. So I'm not sure if they'd just sourced some rainbow trout inflatables and then decided to call them haddocks. But they, were most famously at the game. I think that was the last time we got to the fifth round, maybe of the FA Cup. Maybe we've been there since, against Wimbledon. And it was the year they won. It was the year the Crazy Gang won the FA Cup, with Vinnie Jones and Fashanu and Dennis Wise and all those guys. And I
Dennis
went to Plough
Wise.
Lane. I actually went to the fifth round game when all these Haddocks were there, and Grimsby scored first. And all I can remember is just, and there were way more Haddocks in that crowd than there were at the Southampton game. Literally, just all these people grabbed their Haddocks, just going absolutely crazy with them when Grimsby scored. And then sadly, they lost 2-1 in the end. But it was a good atmosphere. But yeah, Harry the Haddock,
Kidding.
that's kind of a thing now, and they've revived it this year. And when they first drew Southampton, so in the round before, we had Luton, who are challenging for the championship at the moment. I think they're championship playoff contenders, and we beat them 3-0. I mean, we absolutely, dominated them bizarrely. And then just kind of, once you've got 3-0, even when there's 70 places between you and the leagues, you're probably going to hang on to that. So then we drew Southampton, and Southampton said, "You're not allowed to bring the inflatables." And so there was a big outcry in the
Denied.
media.
Carry the
And
haddock.
then
Banned.
apparently they, the club talked to Southampton and said, "I don't know, you're being pathetic. Probably, really, you're not going to let people in with soft inflatables. If you ban it, it's probably going to get worse, isn't it? Because it's likely that people are going to smuggle in stuff like and do it anyway." So in the end, they relented. And so on the day, it's probably, I don't know, 500, 1,000 haddocks, a few sharks that made there, and also a full-size lady with a very surprised look on her face, which I'm not sure she has other uses outside of, cheering on.
That's certainly what I think about when I think about inflatables. But
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable, though. We got to the ground probably 45 minutes ahead of time, and it was like all the fans were in the area before you go up to the stand, just going absolutely, a couple of flares going off, and all these fish waving around, and everybody cheering. And this was just in the bit where you can buy a beer and, sort of milling around. And yeah, and then when we went up, and the atmosphere was just absolutely brilliant. 4,200 odd Grimsby fans didn't sit down for the whole match, apart from maybe 10 minutes during half time when everybody was catching their breath and pinching themselves. And but otherwise, we just stood, sang, just absolutely bloody loved it, especially every time something, went against Southampton on VAR. So, yeah, the VAR apparently costs a, it, you have to pay. You have to pay to use VAR, and the club had to pay £10,000 for the use of VAR.
Really?
But in hindsight, that may be
And
the
it turned
best money
against
they've
them.
ever spent. Yeah.
That was a good
So.
investment. On the highlights, the announcer said 4,000 Grimsby fans down from the Humberside. It sounded like a lot. What was it like on the terraces? What kind of songs do you sing? What are the chants? And did you have a haddock? Do you not have a haddock? Or do, were you the one bringing the inflatable
No, I had no inflatable. I was relatively restrained. I had a
I'm a
Grimsby
married man.
bobble hat on. That was probably all the colours. My nephew, who was stood next to me, had a haddock waving it around. And but out of the seven of us that went, five people were effectively neutrals. They'd just come along to enjoy the spectacle. And no, it was just amazing. Yeah, literally, people bouncing up and down. You knew it was going to be good because the Southampton are famous for singing "When the Saints Go Marching In." That's kind of their signature tune. So they had a band come out at the start, which I've not seen at a football ground before. Kind of like a really crap version of an American, college marching band. So imagine, they're amazing, aren't they? American college marching bands are incredible. But imagine one of those populated by about 10 disinterested middle-aged men and a couple of teenagers, and that's the kind of Southampton marching band. And so they struck up When the Saints, but the Grimsby version of that is When the Town Goes Steaming In, rather than When the Saints Go Marching In. So immediately, 4,000 plus Grimsby fans just started singing their own version of this song and kind of culturally appropriating it, and way louder than the Southampton fans. So I don't know how many people were there, but it was probably about half empty, the rest of the stadium.
Yeah,
And
it looked empty.
so
Looked empty.
overall, and they had not a lot to cheer for because they looked absolutely shocking, to be
No.
honest. They were pretty crap,
Well, they're a terrible
Southampton.
team.
And
I think they're, are they bottom of the Premier? They're bound for
I
relegation,
think, well,
going down.
we motivated them to win at the weekend, I think. So they had a sneaky 1-0. I can't remember against somebody, but they're second. There's a whole load of teams on like 22 or 23 points down there, all trying to stick their heads up. But no, they were pretty poor. They passed it around nicely. They completely dominated possession, but they didn't make the sort of chances you would expect a Premier League team to make. We were hanging on a couple of times, and but they, I mean, their shooting was awful. They blazed four or five decent chances over the bar, headers off target, and even when they brought on Ward-Prowse, which you could almost feel the collective puckering of sphincters at the Grimsby end when Ward-Prowse came on, and every time they got a free kick within 30 yards of the goal. But he played some good balls into the box, and the corners improved and things like that. And even the goal that Walcott was chalked offside for was a good free kick, clever, like kind of up and over free kick from him. But yeah, no, they didn't. I didn't feel overly worried. Sometimes in these games, well, often watching England, you're just waiting for it all to crumble. But in this, as I say, when their second goal got chalked off for offside, I just thought to myself, you know what? The gods are with us today. We're going to see this out. It's going to be absolutely fine. And I was serene for the rest of the match.
Well, speaking of puckered sphincters, Theo Walcott was the mascot for the England team in 2006 when there were those rumors about he and Sol Campbell perhaps being entangled. But I was wondering if that crossed your mind at all, watching Theo Walcott, was just a hilarious looking character now. He's got a man bun. You must have given Theo some shtick. What kind of things were the fans yelling at Theo Walcott during the game? Did you have any good insults for the opposition?
No, he just there was a general sort of murmuring of him just being crap, basically. And so I don't like picking out players myself, but yeah, around us there were just people like, yeah, pass it to Walcott, he's shit, and that kind of a element to it. But I would imagine to some level, when they did bring on some big guns towards the end there, and when you hear a player that has played for England and has sort of been a Premier League stalwart, and they're coming on against your League Two team, there is a bit of a worry because you do think, oh Christ, are they just going to run rings around them? But it's amazing how often in football that a very determined, lesser skilled set of players that are literally leaving everything on the pitch can hold up another team. And I say, with the benefit of VAR being there to chalk off those two goals, and that which were offside, but they wouldn't have, the linesman didn't give the second one. So that would have, without that, and like you say, the penalties, albeit, and I'll admit it was a super soft penalty. Had I seen that Luis Suarez or somebody like that go down, I'd have been absolutely furious if it was against my team. But when it is your team, you suddenly find a kind of a way of accepting these things as being, maybe just kind of a karma for all the times that things have got against you. I think that's how I reconciled it to myself.
Yeah, I think all football fans do. The VAR was on your side. without it, I think it's a different game. But there's a sense of destiny about them looking ahead. Who do you want in the next round? Who's up in the draw? Who do you fancy?
Well, we've already been drawn against Brighton, so we've got Brighton
Right, I knew
away
that.
on March the 19th on a Sunday afternoon. I think it would be very, very difficult to get a ticket because they've only allocated 4,600 tickets, and Grimsby have about 6,000 season ticket holders who will all get a first dibs. And given the fact we managed to take 4,200 on a Wednesday night, which is a 240 mile, well, a 480 mile round trip for people from Grimsby, that was. So on a Sunday, that's a lot more doable for
Yeah.
people than it is on a Wednesday when you need to take time off work or pull a sickie. So I don't think I'll be actually
Yeah.
going in person this time. But yeah, Brighton, I think it's going to be very difficult. They're a class act really at the moment, aren't they? With got a bloody World Cup winner in their side. That's so. But like at Southampton, it's a completely free hit. So Grimsby can go into it. If they lose 5-0, nobody will really care. Nobody will bat an eyelid. Nobody would be surprised. They just go, oh, yeah, kind of normal service has resumed. There was bloody some big scores in the Premier League this weekend, wasn't there? So it's not really a big deal. So probably like with Southampton, I'd look at it and say, we want to just try and hang on as long as we can and then hope for a bit of luck. And if you're dragging into the second half and you're within one goal or leading, or even drawing, you've always got a chance, haven't you? There's always a chance of something weird happening. They get a bit jittery. Somebody does something daft. So yeah, I would expect us to lose handsomely if I'm honest, given the way they're
Yeah.
playing and some of their players that they've got. That Japanese kid they've got looks brilliant, doesn't he? And the McAllister and all the rest of them, they kind of did a good job of getting rid of some of their players that I don't think they were that bothered about to Chelsea, who just seemed the place to send anybody you want to get rid of at the moment for big money. And
Yeah. No
so
kidding. No kidding.
I'd imagine the
Yeah,
atmosphere
they've
will
got
be
a great
great. You'll
team,
have 4,000.
but yeah, well, I think you got to go. I mean, Brighton in the springtime sounds lovely. I think Harry the Haddock will be there. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Grimsby pulls off another upset. But of all the places you've gone to follow this team, Brighton's got to rank up there as one of the better destinations. Where's the worst experience following Grimsby on the road, nationwide, semi-pro? What's the standout in terms of worst places you've been following this team?
Well, I've had a couple of. Well, sometimes it's coloured by the result as much as the place. But I've certainly stood in absolute pouring rain, watching dire football. I don't remember the year, but I remember when we were in the National League the first time around. So probably 7, 8 years ago, something like that. And we were playing Macclesfield, which was very close to where my in-laws were living at the time. So I
Right.
went down to the game and it rained for the whole game. It was absolutely terrible football. In the end, Grimsby won, but literally because they were the only team that strung together four passes. And that was about the highlight of it. It was absolutely awful. The pitch was terrible. It was just a shocking game. So that weather-wise and sort of quality of football, that I do remember that being very low. In terms of sort of what feels like an utter misery, I mean, I think I've seen Grimsby lose 4-0 about four times, strangely. One against Coventry City way back in the championship, on a Boxing Day, which was memorable because my wife was wearing a light blue coat. And so, being Coventry, being the Sky Blues, we got quite a lot of abuse as we
Yeah.
went sit down in the Grimsby end. And but another terrible one was when I was living in Canada, I flew back at Christmas for like a holiday, and to go to the office Christmas do, landed on a Saturday morning, drove So I hadn't hardly slept. I'd been on the red eye, landed Saturday morning, drove up to Birmingham, which is where the company I worked for was. Went to watch Grimsby play Walsall away at Walsall, which is on the sort of outskirts of Birmingham. It was terrible weather again. We lost 4-0, absolutely dreadful. And I was totally exhausted as well. The only highlight of that day was the fact they had a curry pie at half time, which was fantastic. So, you've got to look for silver linings in these things. But that's not the most picturesque ground, Walsall. That's just off the M6 motorway on one of the largest junctions there is. So you can the Bescot
Sounds
Stadium, I
awful.
think it's called. I've trawled all the way down to Portsmouth and watched Grimsby lose 4-0 midweek, which was dreadful. And but another terrible one a few years ago, I went down to Forest Green Rovers, who are now doing well. This was National League, this was outside. But they're famous for their owner is a like a an eco power person, and so the whole club is all about being eco-friendly, including the fact it's a vegan football club. So I drove down there. It was freezing. It was like a six-layer freezing cold Tuesday or Wednesday night. And I was still cold, even with six layers on thermals, the lot. And we lost, I think, 3-0, 3-1, something like that, completely outplayed. And the highlight of that day was not the pie, because it was a vegan pie. And so you couldn't even get, meaty sustenance to give you some kind of warmth. But I think generally it's not the place, because I don't mind. Even a crap football ground is all right if you win. I've been to some when they were non-league. I went to some crap football grounds like Tamworth, which is barely, even a town. And I'm trying to think other. Been to Stockport County, but they're like a proper football club. So that they were non-league as well. They'd kind of fallen out like Grimsby. And I say proper football club, I mean somebody that's been, around for 100+ years, proper fan base. So they're still, even non-league, you're getting 3,000 people. And have a capacity of like 8,000, 10,000. So it's, there's a lot of clubs that have come up that are actually doing quite well now that you sort of don't really class as being proper football. But I maybe ought to rethink my worldview. That's it's a bit of a comeuppance, as I say, having watched the team in the championship for a long time, for them to fall down into the lower divisions. And it's I don't know. We've got good owners now, so that has made me feel good about the football club.
Well,
And
tell
that's
me
one of
about them.
those things where you get.
Did you get a famous actor like Ryan Reynolds, or did you get the Qatari sports laundering billionaires? What kind of owner did you get?
Yeah, no, they're awesome. They are two local people, and both of whom have been very successful businessmen. One of them is runs a business called Simply Business, and the other one, and previously, I think he ran Match.com. So he's basically become an internet entrepreneur to some degree, although and CEO running these businesses. But he's from a single parent council house background in Grimsby, always been a Grimsby Town fan. He's actually also, I think he's a visiting professor at Oxford University in some kind of, and he's incredibly smart sounding guy, very, very level headed. But him and this other guy bought out the previous owner, who had been, really, it's that sort of classic thing of they'd been through a lot of managers. Including the utter disaster of Ian Holloway towards the end, but never really taking responsibility for their own stewardship of the club as an owner. And I think when owners sort of say, yeah, the buck stops with us, rather than it's the managers or the players or something like that, that's a big change in culture happens there. And that's these guys have taken over. And ever since day one, they've said, basically, we're all about making this a sustainable club, both in terms of financial, but also looking at it from the point of view of making sure it's involved in the community, that it's, doing things to build a good academy, and to working with local schools and developing the women's team. And it's, you know, just all round, I cannot fault them whatsoever in what they've done with the club, how much prouder it feels to sort of support them now. But then, like in the classic sort of sense of sport or business or things, they've focused on the process and then the outcomes happen naturally. And so they're focused on the process, and in the process we finished sixth last year in the National League, and then against all the odds in three amazing playoff games, including defeating Ryan Reynolds and Rob Mackey, got promoted.
Even yeah, I was happy about that. I don't like Ryan Reynolds. I think he's overrated. I can't stand that guy.
Even though he's a Canadian, even though he's one of your countrymen.
Especially because he's Canadian. He's got that glib, sarcastic, smarmy, fast-talking style. And I don't mind him so much, but everybody's trying to do that now. Everybody's trying to talk like Ryan Reynolds. And, you know, they think if you talk fast, you sound smarter. And it drives me nuts. I can't stand it. This whole generation is trying to speed talk and try to, you know, there's no thought between what you say and how you answer it. There's no consideration. Everybody wants to interrupt everybody. And it's all because Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool. That's my theory on communication. In this era, it's all Ryan Reynolds' fault. So I'm glad you kicked him in the bollocks, metaphorically.
Yeah, I watched the documentary, and only Grimsby fans must have truly enjoyed the ending. As you know, for everybody else, it must have been a bit of a spoiler, but it was just majestic. You know, I literally, I could not have been more happy. It was, I was moving house at the time, so I remember listening to the game on the radio. And that game, I mean, this was a game that the first playoff game we had was against Notts County, and in the 96th minute, we were losing 1-0, and we equalised, and then won in the 119th minute of extra. So, you know, 119th minute, 29th minute of extra time, we won that game. And then we played Wrexham, massive underdogs. Obviously, they've spent League One money on their team, even though they're National League. And that game was just unbelievable to listen to on the radio. It was, you know, because it went from both teams, I think, held the lead two or three times, ended up 4-4. In regulation, and then again Grimsby scored in the 119th minute. So it was, you know, it was just unbelievable. And there's a lot of people that sort of claim that's one of the greatest playoff games ever, with a lot of commentators and things like that were talking about it, and
ever
talk about it subsequently.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, it's a hell of a game, isn't it? 4-4 and then a 119th minute winner. It's like an awesome heavyweight boxing match where they're just slugging each other, and then eventually somebody goes down in the 11th round. That's against Tommy Holt.
Yeah. So why Grimsby? I mean, you're not even from Grimsby. Why do you follow them? You've stuck with them now for all these years. You followed them through the Nation League to the depths of the professional setup. It's nothing but disappointment. You finally got to a point where you could be proud of them again. But why did you stick with them?
Well, it was a family thing, really. I had no choice to start because my dad took me and first game I went to was 1978. So, I think it was one of the last games of the season in Grimsby. I think we beat Sheffield United 4-0 or 3-0 or something like that. And that caused us to be promoted. So I kind of got sucked in at that point in time. And we'd have probably got 10,000 people at games then, maybe more. We had better capacity then because there was a lot more standing. Yeah, and then I just sort of didn't ever think about supporting anybody else. And football wasn't such a big thing then. The Premier League didn't have its standing like it does now. I mean, in fact, football in the 80s was bloody awful because it was mainly, you know, hooligans and everything else, and it was before it became commoditized and became such a big money thing. So either your family was into football, and then you probably were, and you followed whatever team your dad did, or you didn't. It's not like nowadays where you see kids on the street here and they've got PSG kit or a, you know, Real Madrid or something like that. It doesn't make any sense now to me that. So no, I'm not from there, but all my family is, all my aunts, my uncles, granddad. You know, my granddad knew a load of the players, and we had a good team. And I say we had success over the first few years that I followed them. Got close to the what was, you know, now called the Premier League, and then, you know, I got used to going to places like Wolves and Birmingham City and watching them play fairly decent teams, West Brom. And we were kind of training players around those people, and we were a solid championship team for a good decade before we slowly started to just get a crapper and crapper and finish 15th and 16th and 17th and 18th and get demoted and then do the same in the next division and the same in the next division, and then we've just yo-yoed. I think Grimsby are the joint most promoted and demoted team.
Is
So
that right?
that's I think Notts County might be the other one. Weirdly, we both play in black and white stripes, so maybe there's something in that for. But yeah, I wouldn't
Maybe,
change
maybe.
it.
So it's
A load of my friends mess it.
So is it something about the town that gives it a special character? Like I said, when you Google Grimsby, all you get is a Sacha Baron Cohen movie, and they don't really paint a good picture of the black and white jersey. That's where everybody else knows it from. But what's Grimsby like, and what are the people like, and you know, does that reflect in your love with the club, and why it means so much to you?
I always enjoyed going up there because it meant seeing my cousins and having a good time and seeing the football and things like that. But it's a very working class place. It is geographically, it's in an odd location because it's out on the coast, and it's on the south bank of the Humber estuary. So it's not on the way to anywhere. You never go there by accident. You only go there if you're actually going to Grimsby. And it's a town that used to have a huge fishing industry. Like in the 50s, I think it was one of the biggest fishing ports in the world. And, you know, trawlermen, 3 weeks on the trawler and then a few days in land, spending all the wages that you got. They were hard people, you know, as a difficult job, and they were hard people, and they would go mad. They'd come back and they'd go absolutely mad. You know, maybe give the wife a few quid and then they'd just spend the rest in the pub and on prostitutes probably. But it's, yeah, I always had a fondness for going there, but it's got some very run down aspects of it. But the people, because of its sort of geographic location, have their, yeah, there's definitely an idiosyncrasy to them, and they're kind of like hard mentality, but friendly. I've always found people really, really friendly there, and you know, typical sort of northern English thing of you know, you'll get a bit of shit and you've got to be able to hold your own kind of thing, but if you can do that, then they'll get on with you all right. And obviously being a Grimsby Town fan doesn't hurt. I bumped into a few fans on the way back from Southampton, and we were having a good chat, and they were all like, "What, you're not from Grimsby, you weren't born there, you've never lived there, why do you support Grimsby Town?" And it's like, well, yeah, it's like a hereditary disease, I suppose.
Well, that's the best definition of how these things carry on. It's a hereditary disease. You know, the games you watch with your dad when you're a kid, they really stick with you, and that becomes your team against all odds. You stick with it and you stay with it. It's a beautiful story, James. Thanks for sharing it. I hope Grimsby goes down to Brighton, brings their haddocks, and Brighton is a good team, but I think they'll be overlooking Grimsby. You know, they've got higher aspirations. I think they're ripe for the taking. I predict a trip to Wembley in your future.
Oh, that would be magic, Carl. That would be absolutely magic.
Wembley full of haddock. Can you picture it? I thank you,
I'll
James,
even
for
buy a
sharing
haddock
that beautiful story.
if we get to
I'll buy
Wembley,
one
I'll
too.
buy a haddock.
And
I'll send you one to go with the Liverpool as well.
please do, please do. I would wave my trout proudly, although I still don't see what you have against the codfish. The codfish is a noble institution. But anyways, be well, James. I'll be watching Grimsby and Harry the Haddock in Wembley. Can't wait to see it.